بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لا يدخل النار أحد ممن بايع تحت الشجرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the topic that we have at our final discourse this evening is something that is very integral and pertinent to the faith of a believer. Nay, it is the cornerstone of our iman, and that is honoring, respecting and revering the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One might wonder at the onset, this is an accepted fact, it's part of our faith, what's the need to emphasize the topic? You'd be amazed and perplexed to know, in many a so-called Islamic faculties that supposedly offers Islamic diplomas, one has to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an ordinary man of history, without the honoring and revering of his blessed name. In fact, one particular student from a tertiary institution came to me and he said, "Sheikh, I intend pursuing Islamic studies not at a traditional institution, but rather a so-called tertiary reputable institution. But one of the prerequisites is that reference to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be made as I have done so now. And you have to say Muhammad and that's it." I said, "My brother, will your faith and your iman ever allow you to take the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in without invoking the blessings and the mercy of Allah upon him?" And hence it's very important and integral that we understand. Bishr ibn Harith rahmatullah alayhi used to say, "Awthaqu amali fi nafsi hubbu ashabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I consider the strongest action in my life for my salvation my love for the noble companions. If I have a hope that any action would rescue me on the day of Qiyamah, then it is my love and my attachment for the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arabic poet said, "Inni uhibbu Aba Hafsin wa shi'atihi kama uhibbu atiqan sahib al-ghari wa qad raditu aliyan qudwatan wa ma raditu biqatl al-shaykh fi al-dahri kullu as-sahabati sadati kullu as-sahabati sadati fahal aliyya bihadha al-qawl min 'ari." Inni uhibbu Aba Hafsin wa shi'atihi. I love Umar and I am fond of the family of Umar. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Ibn Sa'd makes mention of the narration. أخرج ابن سعد عن أبي وائل قال قدم إلينا عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه فنعى إلينا عمر. He says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came to us and conveyed to us the sad news of the death of Umar radiallahu anhu. فَلَمْ أَرَ يَوْمًا كَانَ أَكْثَرُ بَاكِيًا وَلَا حَزِينًا مِنْهُ. In my life, I never seen a day where there was more crying and tearing than the day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. And then he expressed his bond for Sahaba. And he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ عُمَرْ كَانَ يُحِبُّ كَلْبًا لَأَحْبَبْتُهُ. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "If I had to know that Umar was fond of an animal, I would become attached to that animal just out of the respect of Umar radiallahu anhu." وَإِنِّي لَأَحْسِبُ الْعِضَالَ
قد وجد فقد عمر. And I honestly believe today, as Umar has passed on, it's not only the humans that lament the death of Umar. For all I care, the earth is equally crying, and so are the trees around us mourning the death of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Alqama ibn Marsad rahmatullah alayhi says, "Intaha al-zuhd ila thamaniya min al-tabi'in." Intaha al-zuhd ila thamaniya min al-tabi'in. Abstinence from this world, while it was a common feature amongst our pious predecessors, but this was found to an optimum level in 8 of the tabi'een. Who was this? Amongst them was Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah. Then he goes on to describe Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh. He said, "Ma ra'ayna ahadan min al-nas kana atwal huznan minhu." He was a man who was perpetually gripped in grief. "Ma kunna narahu illa annahu hadithu 'ahdin bi musibah." Whenever we would look at him, it would appear to us as if he had a fresh calamity. Then he went on to say, "Nadhaku wa la nadri la'alla Allah qad tala'a 'ala a'malina fa qala la aqbalu minkum shay'an." We sit and gossip and laugh, chat and socialize, and we know not perhaps Allah has declared the rejection of our actions. Then he went on to say, "I had the good honor in my life of meeting 70 companions of those who participated in Badr. Wallahi, laqad adraktu 70 badriyan." I had the privilege of meeting 70 sahaba who participated in Badr. Then he gives a brief description of them. "Aktharu libasuhum as-suf." By and large, they would clad themselves in a simple garb of woolen texture. "Aktharu libasuhum as-suf. Walau ra'aytumuhum qultum majanin. Walau ra'au khiyarakum laqalu ma li ha'ula'i min khalaq. Walau ra'au shirarakum laqalu ma yu'minu ha'ula'i bi yawm al-hisab." He said, "If you had to see the sahaba, due to the fact that you have deviated from the teachings, you would instantly arrive at the conclusion and say, 'Allah forbid,' I'm adding that word, 'these people look like they are insane.' On the reverse, flip the coin, if the sahaba have to look at you, then he categorizes the humans, that is us, in two categories, the noble and the wicked. He said, if the sahaba had to see the cream of your crop, the best among you, they would instantly arrive at the conclusion, these individuals are bereft of virtue in its entirety. That's the good amongst you. And if we had to ever see, if the sahaba had to see the sinful amongst you, they would instantly conclude by saying, these people are not believers, they don't believe in Allah. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمْ مِنَ التُّرَابِ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيْهِ. A common thread of the sahaba was, the world was more trivial to them than the sand beneath their shoe. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا يُمْسِي أَحَدُهُمْ وَمَا يَجِدُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا قُوتًا فَيَقُولُ لَا أَجْعَلُ هَذَا كُلَّهُ فِي بَطْنِي. It would be evening, and the sahabi would have a meager meal, but his conscience wouldn't allow him to consume the entire meal, and he would say, "I need to find someone that is destitute, that is poor, a pauper, and I can share my meal with him." They would go out in the search for a pauper and a beggar, but by Allah, they were a greater pauper than the beggar they found. By Allah, they were a greater pauper than the beggar they found, and they would then divide that meal in half, giving half to that beggar, who by definition of poverty was above the bar in which they lived, but they would pass half the meal on to him, eat the other half, and that is how they would love. Rabi ibn Husayn was one of the great tabi'in that history has seen. The giant Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say and confer the accolade upon him, "لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك." What a testimony. A man like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was groomed on the lap of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In fact, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "من سره أن يقرأ القرآن رتبا كما أنزل فليقرأ على قراءة ابن أم عبد. If anybody wants to preserve the Quran as revealed, then follow the recital of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gives testimony in favor of this man who was not a Sahabi, and he says to him, my brother, you know you did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I can stand guarantee, had the Prophet of Allah seen you, he would have immensely loved you. He would have loved you. Sometimes we say to a child, you know you were born and your grandfather passed away, or this uncle of yours passed away, if he was alive, oh, you would have had a wonderful time, because he loved kids, and I know your nature, he loved children like you. Imagine the testimony of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says to Rabi ibn Khuthayn, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive, he would have loved you. Rabi ibn Khuthayn, describing the Sahaba, says, أَدْرَكْنَا أَقْوَامًا كُنَّا فِي جُنُوبِهِمْ لُسُوصًا. We seen the group of Sahaba, really we feel like liars and thieves and thugs when we dare make a comparison to their nobility. عون ابن عبد الله رحمة الله عليه said, من كان قبلكم كانوا يجعلون للدنيا ما فضل عن آخرتهم وإنكم تجعلون لآخرتكم ما فضل عن دنياكم. He said in a simple, let me tell you what's the difference between Sahaba and you. من كان قبلكم كانوا يجعلون, كانوا يجعلون, those who preceded you, they devoted their key resources, the chunk of their assets towards Akhirah. And if anything remained, then they channeled it towards this world. You've reversed the whole theory. You devote the chunk to this world, the core and the key, the essence and the main aspect. And if anything remains, then you channel it towards this, towards Akhirah. Muhammad ibn Simak rahmatullah alayhi was sitting in a gathering. Harun Rashid was present. The topic of pious predecessors came into discussion. He said, ما يساوي ألف من الخلف واحدا من السلف. 1,000 of us cannot equate one of our pious predecessors. And I'm going to come to a very critical point in my presentation today. But let me signal the alarm bells at the onset. And that is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forewarned, and he had prophesied an era where the latter part of this ummah, in addition to their feebleness and their weakness and their inability, they will start condemning and criticizing the pious predecessors to the extent their condemnation will go against my Sahaba as well. He said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدْرُ فَأَمْسِكُوا. Tibrani, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrates it. When people touch the topic of predestination, it's delicate, it's intricate, it's very difficult to comprehend, move away from that gathering. When people get into the topic, it is a very, very intricate topic. Somebody came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْقَدْرِ. Simplify the article of predestiny. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, هُوَ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ لَا تَلِجْهُ. It's a deep ocean, don't dive into it. The questioner persisted. He said, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْقَدْرِ. Simplify the article of predestination. He said, هُوَ طَرِيقٌ مُظْلِمٌ لَا تَسْلُكْهُ. It's a dark road, don't walk on it, you'll get lost. The questioner persisted, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْقَدْرِ. Ali, am I doing what has been recorded, or are the angels recording what I have done? Simplify this, tell me this whole thing. Ali radiallahu anhu said, سِرُّ اللَّهِ قَدْ خَفِيَ عَلَيْكَ. This is the secret of Allah which will remain unknown to you. Don't probe it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدْرُ فَأَمْسِكُوا. When people start delving into this, how often we have in a social get-together, it's a barbecue and the topic gets on and it gets heated and it gets personal, and then each one becomes a mufti of his own and he starts issuing verdicts on Islamic matters. Ali was what a giant in knowledge. And these are his words. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you will find a time where part of the social gathering will be exchanging opinions regarding the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you see that gathering, run from there. Someone came to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and said, between Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who ranks more senior? And we don't shy away from the skirmishes that existed between the Sahaba. That's a reality, it's a page of our history. But nor do we taint our tongues by pronouncing verdicts on who was correct or not. What authority do I have when the Quran announces their pardon and forgiveness? When the Quran says, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and every companion for him we have decreed paradise. Who am I when Allah the Almighty has pronounced his happiness in their favor? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, the entire life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was a giant in his own field, who was a great scholar, who was a great asset, who revived the like of Umar. Nay, it was called the second Umar. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's entire life cannot equate the dust in the nostrils of the horse on which Muawiyah rode, radiallahu anhu. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? The entire, how could you dare equate a man who seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a man who did not see? He said, ما يساوي ألف من الخلف واحدا من السلف. 1,000 of us cannot equate one of our pious predecessors, not even going too far. And then he went on to say, وَيَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ بَلَغْتَ غَايَةَ الْإِئْتِمَارِ حَيْثُ مَدَحَكَ الْمَلِكُ الْجَبَّارِ وَيَا عُمَرْ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَالِيَا وَإِنَّمَا كُنْتَ وَالِدًا وَيَا عُثْمَانِ قُتِلْتَ مَظْلُومًا وَلَمْ تَزَلْ مَدْفُونًا وما قولك في من وحد الله طفلا صغيرا حتى توفي كهلا كبيرا. He said, O Abu Bakr, people say he is, you know, a comforter. He can console you. Abu Bakr, you reached the pinnacle of honor in terms of consoling when you had consoled the master in his cave on the journey of Hijrat. ويا عمر لم تكن والي واليا وانما كنت والدا. Umar, you were not a ruler, you were not a governor, you were a father to the nation. You were a father to the nation. We pray and hope that once again Allah can bring fathers to rule over us. People who truly have the interests of the masses at heart. You read the lives of Umar and his biography, and you would see what was his concern and what was his motivation. وَيَا عُمَرْ لَمْ تَكُنْ وَالِيَا وَإِنَّمَا كُنْتَ وَالِدًا وَيَا عُثْمَانْ قُتِلْتَ مَظْلُومًا وَلَمْ تَزَلْ مَدْفُونًا. Oh Uthman, you were killed wrongly and you remain in the mercy of Allah. And he goes on to say, وَمَا قَوْلُكَ فِي مَنْ وَحَّدَ اللَّهَ طِفْلًا صَغِيرًا. How do I begin praising a man who from the time his eyes opened, he glorified Allah till he passed away? فَهَذَا صَاحِبُ الْغَارِ وَهَذَا إِمَامُ الْأَعْصَارِ وَهَذَا أَحَدُ الْأَخْيَارِ مَدَحَهُمْ الْمَلِكُ الْجَبَّارِ وَأَسْكَنَهُمْ دَارَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Here you have Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the confidant in the cave. Then you have Umar radiallahu anhu, the leader of the nation. Then you have Uthman and Ali, the two who enjoy the exclusive privilege of being the son-in-law of the greatest human that the planet Earth has ever seen. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, أنتم أكثر صلاة وأكثر صياما وأكثر اجتهادا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم كانوا خيرا منكم. Listen, O folks, many of you might surpass the Sahaba in observing fast. I know of people that fast every day. Many of you might surpass the Sahaba in prayer, but remember, they're better than you. Why, O Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? هم كانوا أزهد في الدنيا وأرغب في الآخرة simply because they were abstinent from this world. Their hearts were not attached to the embellishment and the glory and the beauty and the glitter and the glamour of this world. While despite your performance of worship, you remain very connected. I often say, Sahaba were those who only wanted Akhirah. And we are those who also want Akhirah. Sahaba were those who only wanted. And we are those who also want. And I don't have to tell you the difference of only and also. How about a wife saying, this is also my husband? How about a poor man doesn't have the leg to stand on, although he has legislative rights and divine permissibility? Let's not get into that topic. But I'm saying, only and also, it's a world of a difference. Sahaba were those who only wanted Akhirah. Abu Raja' Utaribi says, I came to Medina. قدمت المدينة فإذا الناس مجتمعون, people had gathered, وإذا في وسطهم رجل يقبل رأس رجل, in the center I seen one person kissing another person, so I nudged the man next to me, I said, who is the gentleman kissing and who is he kissing? He said, ذاك عمر بن الخطاب يقبل رأس أبي بكر, the man kissing, that is عمر, and the person who is kissing, that is أبو بكر. Just look at, imagine what a sight that must have been. Umar ibn Khattab, and that kiss was acknowledgement and paying tribute to Abu Bakr, and then he fell on Abu Bakr, and he said, Wallahi lawla anta ya Abu Bakr halakna. Abu Bakr, if it wasn't for you, we the Ummah would have been destroyed. If it wasn't for you, oh Abu Bakr, we would have been destroyed. Now there is a narration that appears, Ibn Ishaq makes mention of it, on the strength of Ka'ab Quradi rahmatullah alayh, that once a person from Kufa came to Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, did you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to Allah, I had seen him. He said, what did you do? He said, we tried our level best to comply, to honor, to respect his presence, and whatever obligations were upon us to discharge it. So this person, in his claim of love and affection, he started making certain loose claims. He said, Wallahi law adraknahu. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba. Wallahi law adraknahu, lahamalnahu ala a'naqina, wama taraknahu yamshi ala al-ard. If we had to be present at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, we would have literally carried him on our shoulders. And we would have never allowed him to put his feet down on the floor. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, brother, hold your tracks. Hold your tracks. Retract your words. Revoke your sentiments. Easier said than done. He said, if you had to be with us on the occasion of Khandaq, I don't know if you would have had the muscle to preserve your iman also. I don't know what your faith would have been, my brother. Then he went on to explain. And hence I say, just as Allah selected the best land for His Prophet, alayhi salam, and Allah selected the noblest book for His Prophet, alayhi salam, and Allah selected the best Prophet for His, the best book for His Prophet, alayhi salam, Allah equally selected the best companions for His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahaba were not ordinary people. One of the Mufassirin have written so beautifully, Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ مَنْ أَنصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ Oh, you who believe, become the helpers of Allah. The Sahaba responded to this call so promptly that a group amongst them became known as the helpers of Allah. That became their official title. They responded so diligently that they were conferred the accolade in the Quran as the helpers of Allah. Then Huzaifa radiallahu anhu started elaborating. He said, it was the night of Khandaq. It was extremely cold. وَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ قُعُودٌ. We were standing in our rows. وَأَبُو سُفْيَانُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ فَوْقَنَا. And Medina is situated at a slope. Abu Sufyan and his army were on the upper end. وَقُرَيْذَةُ أَسْفَلُ مِنَّا. And the tribe of Qurayza, they were staying inside. The Prophet ﷺ had diplomatic ties with them that we differ on faith, but we can respect one another's security. But in the 11th hour, they defaulted and they joined the common allies against the Muslims. And whatever measures the Muslims had instituted to fortify and insulate themselves was again outside invasion, not taking any measures against inside, simply because there was no fear. But in the 11th hour, they now had to face a stumbling block. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu paints the picture, creates the scenario, lays out the ground. وَقُرَيْذَةُ أَسْفَلُ مِنَّا نَخَافُهُمْ عَلَى ذَرَارِينَا. We feared an outside attack on us, and we feared an internal attack on our women and children. وَمَا أَتَتْ عَلَيْنَا لَيْلَةٌ قَطُّ. He starts telling this brother, you said you'll carry the Prophet ﷺ on your shoulders. Sit down, brother, sit down. Take a seat and listen. Wallah, we are in the tail end. We have thrown in harvest the fruits and eat it. Did not my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he addressed the companions and he said, you have to preserve 100% deen to be successful. And a time will come if people can only honor 10%, they will equally make it through. And today, we want to tamper with Islam. And we want to adjust Islam. Remember, the Quran draws our attention to a key principle. Either I change my ego, and I suppress my ego to conform with divine teachings, then that is the definition of guidance and reformation. So my ego wants to sleep the entire night, it wants to indulge in sin, it doesn't want to observe the fast, it wants to roam its gaze, it wants to womanize, it wants to do all the evil. But I suppress it, I destroy it, I crush it, I tame it, I discipline it, and I say divine guidance will dictate when I'll sleep, when I'll eat, with whom I socialize and whom not. That is the definition of guidance. And the reverse of it is that I leave my ego to do what it wants and I start tampering with the laws of Allah. The Quran says, وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِمْ. That is the recipe of destruction. And I'm afraid the world is on the brink of the recipe of destruction. The world in its entirety has come. And I'm talking with a broad brush here. I'm not isolating a community or any ethnic group. I'm saying we're challenging divine law by and large. Let's look at the commonalities between all divine scriptures and start honoring and revering the words the Almighty has said. And hopefully we could save the ship of humanity from wrecking. But for now, I'm afraid we are preparing the recipe of destruction. So he says, وَمَا أَتَتْ عَلَيْنَا لَيْلَةٌ قَدْتُ أَشَدُّ ظُلْمًا وَلَا أَشَدُّ رِيحًا مِّنْهَا. In my life I have not seen a more dark night, a more cold night. وَهِيَ ظُلْمَةٌ مَا يَرَى أَحَدُنَا إِصْبَعَهُ. It was so dark, you couldn't see your finger. And that was not an exaggerated description. And the Quran uses this phrase. You know, so many ayat Allah puts in the mind, and whatever I can share, inshallah, by the will of Allah, I will share. Where Allah speaks about the layers of darkness in the life of a person who doesn't believe in Allah, a person who has sins, vice, transgression in his life. One brother one day told me a very beautiful thing, and it hit me so hard. He said, what is the most disturbing moment in the life of an agnostic, in the life of an atheist? I said, tell me. He said, after owning everything, he has no one to thank. Well, what a hollow moment that must be. Whoever it is, when you realize you've recovered, your marks are true, your daughter is fixed, your child is proposed, whatever, immediately that inner body just calls out to a supreme being and you fall down. But what happens to this? What happens to this? So the Quran speaks about the layers of darkness in the life of a person who is living a life of sin and vice and transgression.
أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نور فما له من نور.
How profound are the words of the Quran. The Quran says it is like layers of darkness in his life. And Allah then gives a parable, a person in the depths of the ocean. It's the dead of night. It's the cover of darkness. Upon him is a wave. Upon that wave is another wave. Upon that wave is the layer of darkness. And upon that is clouds and gloom. Allah says this is the life of this individual. He is engulfed with so much darkness.
إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدَ يَرَاهَا.
If he exposes his hands, it's very unlikely for him to even spot his own hand. Again, appreciate the grammar of the Quran. Allah didn't say he cannot see. Allah said, لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. He won't even get close to seeing it. And the scholars say, Allah uses the phrase of the hand. The hand is such an organ that you can draw close to your eye. Unlike the foot, the hand you can draw so close. Meaning, he is engulfed, embroiled, surrounded by so many layers of darkness. And then the Quran concludes,
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورٌ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٌ.
If a person is not favored with divine celestial light from Allah, no amount of physical lightning can bring brightness to his heart. If a person does not have a divine glow from Allah, if he doesn't have divine brilliance from Allah, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah had given the greatest level of light and brightness, brilliance and radiance, who was illuminated by divine light, but what was his prayer when he embarked for the early morning fajr?
Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi lahmi nura, wa fi dami nura, wa fi sha'ri nura, wa fi 'asabi nura, wa min fawqi nura, wa min tahti nura. Allahumma a'tini nura.
Oh my Allah, oh my Allah, instill the bright light in my eyes. So through those eyes I see your greatness only. Oh my Allah, put the light in my ears. Oh my Allah, put it on my tongue. Oh Allah, put it in my flesh. Oh Allah, put it in my bones. Oh Allah, put it in every anatomy of my body. Oh my Allah, let it sink down on my right, on my left, in my front, in my rear. Oh my Allah, surround me with this light.
What don't we have today? We have everything of this world. We don't have this divine light. And thus, it comes from the top. It's inspired. And it's inspired on particular actions.
And unfortunately, we are not ready to make the bold step to bring those actions in our life.
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورٌ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ.
If Allah doesn't give you that divine light, and your mind doesn't open up to that truth, and this camouflage and the smoke screening of the world and the superficial image of this world is not lifted away from you and you become spiritually blinded, then the Quran says you can hit such a low. You can hit such a low in deviation.
وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا.
There are those amongst them who are devoid of an iota of light, and they reach such a low in darkness that if we cause the deceased to stand up from the grave, and every dead man narrates his tale to the living, thereby convincing him on the truth of life after death.
وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ.
And we send the angels down from the heavens.
وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا.
And we put paradise and hell before them.
لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ.
They will conclude by saying, you have cast a spell on my eye. We are a bewitched nation. We are under spell. We've been mesmerized. This is not the truth. I am made to see something that doesn't exist. In English they say, none can be more blind than he who does not want to see. And none can be more deaf than he who does not want to listen. أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّةِ أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّةِ أَوْ تَهْدِي الْعُمْيَةِ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you able to convince the deaf man? And that also when he turns his back. Look at the locals of the Qur'an. Coming back to the topic, Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, he says, it was so dark I couldn't see my finger. The munafiqeen joined us, and then when they realized things were getting critical, the moment was getting daunting, they deserted and they launched us. And our numbers were considerably reduced. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted some information from the opposite camp. So he said, مَنْ يَذْهَبُ فَيَأْتِينَا بِخَبْرِهِمْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ رَفِيقِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who will stand up and do me a favor, just go to the opposite camp, intercept the information, update me with happenings, and I promise he will walk with me in paradise and he will be my friend. Not one sahabi stood up. He then repeated it and he said, who will stand up, go to the opposite camp, intercept the information and report to me, Allah will make him my friend in paradise. Nobody took on the challenge. Why? فَمَا قَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ. None stood up. مِنْ صَمِيمِ مَا بِهِمْ مِنَ الْجُوعِ وَالْقُرْ. The hunger, the pangs of hunger was so severe and the cold was so biting that Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, many of my companions dug a hole in the ground. They hid themselves inside, took their shield and covered the ground, and they tried to derive warmth from the earth. So critical, so challenging. And he's addressing this brother and he said, you would have carried the Prophet ﷺ on your shoulders. Is that what you said? Great. Great, my brother. You know, often we want to sit back and we want to criticize and we want to pronounce verdicts and we want to say, I wish the Muslim rulers can unite. And you know what, they can forget their bickering, but I cannot go across the road and patch up with my brother, and I cannot move my differences in a family circle, and I'm expecting it to happen on a macro level when I cannot execute it on a micro level. I cannot remove the internal bickering, make the step now, make the change now. What we say, no, I forgive, but I cannot forget. I had a nice quote to tell someone, I will forgive you, but I cannot forget, it's just another way of saying I will not forgive. To tell someone I will forgive you, but I cannot forget, is another way of saying I will not forgive. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then came, one by one, until finally he came to me. He looked at me, he said, is this Huzaifa? I with a very croaky voice, and you know, weakness and feebleness and extreme cold. I said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, this is the humble servant, Huzaifa. He said, stand up. I have no choice in the matter. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Do not consider the call of a Nabi like an average call. As soon as he calls you, it now is elevated with divine connotations. It now becomes a divine call. The implications are much more serious and severe. That is why one day the Prophet ﷺ was walking with a Sahabi and someone was sleeping and it was the time of prayer. The Prophet ﷺ told that Sahabi, go and awaken him. Because while he's sleeping, he might blurt something. Rather he blurts it to you than me. If he blurts it to me, I'm afraid of his faith. So having pity on him, having pity on him. That is why I read about one scholar and it hit me so hard. You know, because these things in theory are very easy. He said, again, we were talking of parents yesterday, this is a very, very deep message. Obviously, this is for the parents, and the child shouldn't be telling his dad, Dad, did you know that? Because then we're losing it. This pious scholar said, I never instructed my children in my life. Because if they fail to honor my instruction, it constitutes disobedience for which they will be punished. So whenever I needed anything, I gave them an option. So even if they choose to deny, Allah won't punish them because it was an optional matter. my son, if you don't mind and you're okay with it, could you kindly get me a glass of water? He said, I never, because as soon as you say it as a father, it now assumes a weighty position. That's the teachings of Islam. I mean, look at the eye of the pious. And another scholar of mine recently told me something very amazing, because I asked him for advice in terms of raising children. He said, my advice to you is that while raising and nurturing your children, you will have the moments where there will be rage, there will be fury, there will be anger. And remember, my advice is as much as you discipline and you chastise them, forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, this will set them back in the eyes of Allah, and they will become a victim to divine wrath, and that punishment of Allah upon them because of their disobedience will hurt you even more. So the only way out is, as much as they provoke you, discipline and forgive. Discipline and forgive, lest it attracts divine wrath. If you hold it in your heart, you know, my son, you've upsetted me, I'm going to hold it in my heart. You hold it, immediately there's divine connotation, and it will have consequences. That consequences will hurt the individual, but will hurt the parent even more. So you have to, and it's not easy. I'm talking now with the cap of a father here. I'm talking with the cap of a father. It's not an easy task where son provokes you, but in his interest, it's better for you to discipline and forgive, lest the consequences are severe. These were just some advices that came by the way. Inshallah, we apply it. It will be beneficial and wholesome to us all. The Prophet said, stand up. I have to stand up. And he said, to add salt to injury, amongst all my colleagues, I was the one that felt the most hunger and the most cold. Had it been anyone else, he could have got away. He didn't feel. Some people feel more hungry and cold. So me as a person, I feel extremely cold. And the Prophet said, stand up and just intercept the information and come back. I said, okay, that's perfectly fine. I stood up. He then made a prayer for me. When my Nabi opens his blessed lips, before he articulates it, it's accepted. Before he pronounces it, it's accepted. Before he suggests it, the Malaika have said Ameen to it. It's about time I do and you do and we do that which makes us deserving of the du'as of our Nabi. It's about time. It's high time. And he's left with us actions. Do this and my prayers are with you. Do this and my blessings are upon you. Do this and I am happy with you. He said, Allahumma ihfadhu min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi wa an yameenihi wa an shimalihi. Oh Allah, Huzaifa has responded to my call. Keep him in your divine eye. Protect him from all angles. Let no one harass him or intimidate him. Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet of Allah had not completed his prayer and I felt like I was walking in a hot shower. My hunger was gone. And amazing, ironical, perplexing, around me everybody's trembling and I'm all calm and relaxed. Everybody's feeling extremely cold. To give you a logical parable to which we can relate, because unfortunately the mind today is logical. As soon as you say it, the mind is running, it's calculating. Is this possible? How? Why? Which? We see it how often when it is peak hour traffic and people are in traffic jam, and then there comes the president's cavalcade with choppers hovering above, and everybody has to wait patiently, and suddenly the sirens are blowing and the police are clearing the traffic. All are jammed in the traffic, but he moves smoothly like a breeze through that traffic. This is because of synchronizing and coordinating and being a diplomat status or cavalcade or whatever it is, the entire entourage just briskly makes their way through that, and everybody just looks at them. Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, I was in comfort and ease and everybody's looking at me, but obviously I responded to the call and hence I became deserving of the prayer. We all want the prayer, but we're not ready to respond to the call. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you aid the cause of Allah, Allah will aid you. And we are saying, Allah aid us first and we'll help you. Ibrahim hopped into the fire, then Allah said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ.
قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم.
We hopped in. Allah said, become cool. We are like, Allah, make it cool, then I'll hop in. Allah, first you give me that barakah, then I'll leave this interest. You make me happy with my wife, then I'll leave this illicit relation. Allah, give me good sleep, then I'll leave my drugs. No, my brother. I said to you, you can't tamper with divine guidance. Whenever an individual tempered, he was destroyed. When a nation tempered, they were destroyed. When a dynasty tempered, the dynasty was destroyed. Read the pages of history. These facts will say if you with open eyes. I stood up. I went. As I was leaving, he said, لا تحدثن في القوم شيئا حتى تأتيني. Don't do anything until you don't report back to me. I said, that's fine. حتى إذا دنوت من عسكر القوم, I got in, I left. نظرت ذو أنال لهم توقد. I seen a fire that was kindled. وإذا رجل أدهم. And I see a dark-skinned person, يقول بيدين على النار. He was warming his hands at the fire. I applied my mind and I realized this was the chief leader, this was the prominent personality, Abu Sufyan. Previously, I had never seen the man. I had heard great about him and I knew he was spearheading all the campaigns. I had a pot shot from the angle where I was. I took my arrow out of my quiver. I placed it ready and I said, here is absolute precision. I could release this arrow and I could strike target. I was about to release, فَذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I had a flush of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to me, don't do anything until I don't tell you. I returned that arrow into the quiver. I'm saying to you, my young brother, Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, he wasn't wanted to do anything sinful, he was about to release the arrow, but immediately he had a flash of the instruction of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How about you, my young brother, when you're about to dine with a girl in a club, and you're about to perpetrate the crime, and you have a flash of the ayah, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't dare come close to immorality. How about you, my brother, when you're about to invest with interest and usury, you have a flash of the ayah, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. If you don't abandon, you are at war with Allah. How about you, my brother, when you're about to gamble and go into the gambling casinos, then you are reminded of the verse, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Verily, gambling and all the related crimes and evils are impurities from the devil, فَجِتَنِدُوهُ. What was the iman? Allah forbid, I am praying with Allah and I am having the flesh of a woman. My whole flesh is the direct opposite. In my prayer, I am having haram flashes and flushes also. And he says, I was about, and immediately I put it back. When this ummah will come back on following divine injunctions in its, you know, most detailed form, then only will it able to raise its head from where it has dropped it. He said, I put the arrow back in, I stayed there, I observed what had happened. There was chaos in their ranks, there was really panic among them, there was disarray, there was disorder, the tents were flying, Allah had sent a strong wind that had erupted their tents. Abu Sufyan said, it's time we return and we move back here. We can just save ourselves from a humiliating defeat. But defeat is our lot. Let's move on to save ourselves from a further defeat. I intercepted the information. I did nothing more. I exited as I came out. إِذَا أَنَا بِنَحْوٍ مِّنْ عِشْرِينَ فَارِسًا. I see 20 horsemen. They come to me, all clad in a common garb, all are wearing turbans, and they say to me, أَخْبِرْ صَاحِبَكْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ كَفَاهُ. Convey our choices regards to your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are angels deputed by Allah. Tell him the battle is over and victory remains for the believers. And the verses were revealed. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And Allah returned the disbelievers in fury and rage. And Allah became sufficient on the fighting front, and He is the mighty at all times. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman said, I return. And now his joy knows no bounds. My poor companions were still trembling. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah. I came to him, he acknowledged me. And then he took me in his embrace, and he put his shawl around me. And when I read this, I cry, Wallah Hudhayfa, I am green with envy for you. I am green with envy for you. May my parents be sacrificed for you. Those moments you slept in the lap of my Nabi. I don't have the words of any language to describe the fortune that knocked your door. You slept in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see the youth of today. He wants to dine with a celebrity. He wants to fly with a celebrity. He feels honored to share podium and platform with a celebrity. Do me a favor and open up the social life of that celebrity. You will see the stench that will come out from there. I'm not talking on religious grounds. Look at the immorality in the life. And an average young man wants to assimilate and associate. Hudhayfa, we salute, we honor, we revere you. May my parents be sacrificed. He said, my head was put in his lap and then I slept. A child is taken in the hug of his mom and then he soothes. A dad rocks him and nothing happens. And the mom latches him on and instantly calmness returns. Can you imagine that sight when Hudhayfa was in the lap of my Habib? I don't know if this earth and this zameen has seen a better sight. I don't know. So he said to the man, you want to tell me that you would have carried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abu Nu'aym makes mention of a narration. In Hilya, on the strength of Jubair ibn Nufayl, who narrates it from his father, who says that one day we were sitting with the great companion Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu. And then a person passed by, a passerby. So he paused for a moment and he said, Miqdad, would you spare me the opportunity? I would love to just look at your eyes simply because it enjoys the honor of repeated glances at the greatest human. If you will be kind enough, I would just want to look at the eyes that had the opportunity of being focused on the greatest person. طُوبَى لِهَاتَيْنِ الْعَيْنَيْنِ طُوبَى لِهَاتَيْنِ الْعَيْنَيْنِ أَلَّتَيْنِ رَأَتَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Oh, Miqdad, your eyes are so fortunate, so blessed, so awesome, so honored. وَاللَّهِ لَوَدِدْنَا أَنَّا رَأَيْنَا مَا رَأَيْتْ I wish I seen in my life once what you saw daily. وَاللَّهِ لَوَدِدْنَا أَنَّا رَأَيْنَا مَا رَأَيْتْ وَشَهِدْنَا مَا شَهِدْتَ And I was present at the time in which you were present. He said this man just went on praising him and praising him. I must digress for a moment here, objective digressing, and draw your attention to a key point. Sahaba were not people that were looking for tribute. They were not people that were hungry for recognition. They were not people that were waiting for praises. And when they got it, they were not people that got flattered with it. We are unfortunately hungry for it, and when we get it, we become, you know what, inflated and flattered, and let a woman praise a man, oh boy, let a woman praise a man and he is inflated like you cannot believe. His ego is bloated, it massages his ego. So instead, this man is praising Miqdad, and he's just quiet, very composed, very modest, no facial expression, no body language, no joy, nothing. He said, brother, are you over? He said, yeah, I'm over. He said, can I say something? He said, please go. He said, مَا يَحْمِلُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَن يَتَمَنَّى مَحْضَرًا غَيَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهُ لا يدري لو شهده كيف كان يكون فيه.
I don't know why people consciously desire to be present in an era from which Allah had systematically kept them absent. I don't know why people desire to be present in a period and a time from which Allah had consciously kept them absent. Had they been present, they have no idea how they would have fared. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ حَذَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَقْوَامٍ كَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ لَمْ يُجِيبُوهُ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقُوهُ For the record, we were not the only ones that seen him. Thousands seen him. We were the fortunate ones to believe in him. What guarantee do you have if you were in Badr? You were with us and not against us.
لَمْ يُجِيبُوهُ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقُوهُ أَوَلَا تَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهُ أَوَلَا تَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ لَا تَعْرِفُونَ إِلَّا رَبَّكُمْ مُصَدِّقِينَ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ وَقَدْ كُفِيتُمُ الْبَلَاءَ بِغَيْرِكُمْ Why won't you express gratitude to Allah? From the time you opened your eyes, you knew Allah is your Lord and Muhammad is your Nabi. Born in a Muslim home.
وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ بُعْتَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَىٰ أَشَدِّ حَالٍ بُعْتَ عَلَيْهِ نَبِيٌّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent in an era more challenging, more daunting than any Nabi.
فِي فَتْرَةٍ When the succession of prophets had been long paused, وَجَاهِلِيَّ People were steeped in ignorance. مَا يَرَوْنَ دِينًا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ Paganism was common, the common order of the day.
فَجَاءَ بِفُرْقَانِ He came with the criteria that separated truth from falsehood, that divided family members, and every one of us had to contend with the bitter challenge that we knew one of our family members had not embraced the faith. So we could never sigh with relief because I had to live with the fact that my mom did not embrace the faith or my brother did not embrace the faith. And you are born in a Muslim home and you have no guarantee had you been present how you would have fared. Relax where you are, appreciate what you have and enhance the cause objectively.
There's a good friend of mine in Perth, Australia. His name is Suleiman. I had a lecture there. MashaAllah, an Australian revert. What a man who humbled me to tears. What a man in his character. Some people have touched me in my humble travels that will live with me.
We went to his house for meals, and as we were leaving, he started crying. And I comforted him. I said, Brother Suleiman, what's the matter? He said, Sheikh, make a dua for my mom. I'm desperate for her iman. I'm desperate for her iman. If I can, you know, it brought so much tears because an average young man comes to me, Sheikh, make a dua, this deal goes through. Make a dua, this container arrives. Make a dua, I strike this. Make a dua, this. And a young man who reverted to the truth. And suddenly he had the right compass in front of him. And his navigation was giving him the correct direction. And his garment was, and his tom-tom was now put in the right direction before him. And he said, my concern and my worry by day and by night is that my mom embraces the faith and then I can sigh with relief.
So, what did Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu say? You wish that you had to be present, these were the issues with which we had to contend. And now that brings me to the aspect that I had touched on, and that is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا These very illuminated individuals will become the victims of the aggression and the curses of this ummah in the latter part before Qiyamah.
Yes. You heard it right. My beloved Habib Muhammad ibn Abdullah, alayhi min Allahi as-salawatu wa taslimat, he has said that a time will come when the latter people of this ummah will find reason to condemn my sahaba. Let me share with you the advice of one prominent scholar.
He said, don't ever involve yourself in three arguments. These are great words of wisdom. And these words of wisdom only come at the feet of scholars. Let me tell you that. If you study Islam in a faculty, in a tertiary institution, there will be words that will be transmitted without spirituality being transmitted. And remember, this is interlinked. These words are connected to spirituality. بَيْضُ وَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الظَّالِمُونَ بَيْضُ وَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. What are the verses of the Quran? These are things that reside in the bosoms of those who carry the sacred sciences of Islam. There's a spiritual transmission. It's not conveying words only. Three arguments don't ever get yourself into. Number one, the dispute and the argument between your parents. As a junior, as a child, how dare you start deciding who's on the right and who's incorrect? It's a harsh reality. It happens in an average home. You might be an elderly son. I would suggest you would have to engage the seniors behind the scenes, pray to Allah politely. If you have to hear the tale of both, hear the tale. But how dare you start saying, Dad, you've overstepped the mark, Mom, you're wrong. He could be wrong and she could be wrong. One has to be right and one is wrong, or both might have their faults. But let it not be that you start passing judgments. This will be to your harm. When I heard this advice, I was so touched by the scholar. I prayed for him. I said, what profound words. Number one, the dispute, the antagonism, the differences, the bickering, the uneasiness between parents. Number two, the differences between the ulama and the scholars. It's not for an average man to start tongue lashing and speaking. You don't know one Yasin by heart. That man carries the whole Quran. And not by chance, by choice. Allah has chosen him. And with respect, if I don't have it, I haven't been chosen for this honorable task. Allah has said he will preserve his deen. And whoever commits the Quran to memory, he has been taken on as an ambassador for the plan of the preservation of the Quran. Someone who has been employed and instituted by Allah and afforded the honor to be part of this honorable task, this great responsibility. I start pointing fingers. That's not my job. The scholars will have their differences. And behind closed doors, they need to adequately, with respect and dignity, thrash their differences. And they have to show a united front. But there will be moments where they will differ and there will be difference of opinion. Don't tarnish your reputation. Don't start siding and harming your own self. And the third and the most serious, oh boy, how dare you get yourself involved in the skirmishes that took place between the Sahaba. It's a reality. We will not sweep it under the carpet. Sahaba were humans. They differed. And they differed seriously. And battles were fought. And lives were lost. And there were sad days. But do I start judging? Oh my Allah! Do I open my filthy impure tongue on Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu wa arda? On Hussein radiallahu anhu, this very Rabi ibn Hussein. Today, he was a man of few words. I spoke about him now, Tabi'i. The day Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people came to him and said, Hussein radiallahu anhu has been killed. What a challenging day in the annals of Islamic history. People said, Al-An yatakallam. This man doesn't speak, but I think today he's going to make a statement. He said, Awaqad fa'alu. Really, have they done this? Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghayb wal-shahada, anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. That's all I have to say. Allah, you the creator of the heavens and the earth, And you will resolve all disputes on the day of Qiyamah. That's my statement for you people. That's it. Nothing more. Don't ever involve yourself in the argument of your parents. We make dua that we don't say, but if we have to engage, we are skating on thin ice. We are skating on thin ice. We need to understand the sensitivity of the situation, the dispute, the differences between scholars, and the point of discussion, which is the focus of tonight's event and discussion, and that is the differences of Sahaba. And really, I heard one scholar saying, when Allah decides the fall of an individual, amongst the first slips that he makes, his tongue becomes loose about the pious predecessors. When a person is to fall, and is to collapse, and now his downward journey commences, and he could be a graduate from anywhere, amongst the first blunders that he makes in his life, he starts rebelling against his seniors. And he starts making bold statements, and then you see how this man falls. There's none to stop the decline of this man. Somebody came to Ali radiallahu anhu, Bayhaqi makes mention of the narration. He said, you people fought against the people of Jamal. Jamal was the camel, because our mother Aisha radiallahu anha mounted onto her the camel, and it means it's a very serious thing. I don't have to read this. And if I feel that my heart is inclining one side, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. Because it's too sensitive. Remember, the Sahaba were not immune from sin. There are three categories. We have the angels that don't have the temperament of sinning. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. So they are completely sinless. They cannot sin. Then we have the galaxy of prophets, the category of prophets, who by human temperament can sin, but they're divinely protected. So human instinctively they can sin, but Allah protects them so they don't sin. And then we have the noble companions who can sin and did sin, but Allah pardoned them. Who can sin and did sin, but Allah pardoned them. So their paradise was confirmed in the Quran. I don't know if I'm going to die with Iman, my brother. I don't know if I can be standing and yelling here. I promise you the critical moment is when the angel of death locks my door. I beg, beseech and implore my Allah to favor me with the articulation of the kalima and favor all the hundreds and the thousands whoever has gathered here. So the Sahaba could sin and they did sin, but Allah pardoned them. So someone asked Ali radiallahu anhu, your opponents in the battle of Jamal, a mushrikunahum? Would you classify them as polytheists? He said, مِنَ الشِّرْكِ فَرُّوا. Polytheism is what they had abandoned. أَمُنَافِقُونَهُمْ. Would you refer to your opponents as hypocrites? Now these were obviously the categories against whom the Sahaba fought. And they were Muslims themselves, they were Sahaba. He said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Munafiqeen remember Allah occasionally. These people are engrossed in the remembrance of Allah all the time. He said, then who are these people, your opponents? He said, Ikhwanuna. Ikhwanuna. They are our brothers who differed with us. They are our brothers who differed with us. The narration of Ibn Asakir. The narration of Ibn Asakir. Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Umar had an argument. They had an altercation. And Sahaba had it amongst themselves. One day two Sahaba had an argument and someone said something to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Nabi Sallallahu said, don't say that to him. He's a participant of Badr. Don't say that to him. He participated in Badr. Then after some time, another Sahabi told him something. So the Sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, you stopped me from telling him, but this companion has also told Abdul Rahman ibn Auf something. Nabi Sallallahu said, he has a right because they both are participants of Badr. They both participated in Badr. My brother, you haven't seen the pains of Badr. You haven't seen the pains of Badr. You were not there with my Nabi in that morning. Yawm al-Furqan, Yawm al-Taqa al-Jam'an, 17th of Ramadan, the scorching heat of Arabia. My Nabi with his army mobilized and went there. He said he participated in Badr. They're on par, they can tell one another. Who are you? You will have a leg to stand on. We don't have a leg to stand on. So Abdullah ibn Umar and Miqdad ibn Aswad had an altercation radiallahu anhuma. In that, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said something to Miqdad ibn Aswad radiallahu anhu. فَشَكَاهُ الْمِقْدَادُ إِلَىٰ عُمَرٍ Miqdad ibn Aswad said, okay, I'll report it to your father Umar radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, فَنَذَرَ عُمَرُ لَيَقْطَعَنَّ لِسَانَهُ Umar said, let my son come here, I'll cut his tongue off. He realized that this wasn't an empty threat. Umar meant what he said. فَلَمَّا خَافَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَبِيهِ تَحَمَّلَ عَلَىٰ أَبِيهِ بِالرِّجَالِ When Abdullah ibn Umar realized the seriousness of the threat of his father, he took few people and he said, please come, my father down, he wants to cut my tongue off. Umar radiallahu anhu said, leave me to do this. فَتَكُونُ سُنَّةٌ يُعْمَلُ مِنْ بَعْدِي لَا يُوجَدُ رَجُلٌ شَتَمَ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا قُطِعَ لِسَانُهُ I want to start this practice that if any person dares speak ill of any Sahabi, his tongue must be cut off. Today, what's our environment? You can cry tears of blood when we hear how children speak to parents. You someday want to put your head down in shame. Who is this child talking to? Partly we blame the child, partly we blame the society, partly we blame ourselves. What vulgarity we use. I often quote the poem, guard your lips when a child is near, for children repeat the things they hear. Let no ugly tone be heard, no careless talk, no angry word. For it is a gracious sin to mar the innocent. Language, vulgar or unkind, leaves its mark upon the mind. Language, vulgar or unkind, leaves its mark upon the mind. So let your speech be wise and mild in the presence of a child. فَتَكُونُ سُنَّةٌ يُعْمَلُ مِنْ بَعْدِي لَا يُوجَدُ رَجُلٌ شَتَمَ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Tibrani makes mention of a narration. Two, three incidents and inshallah we try and draw it to close. Qais ibn Abi Hazim radiallahu anhu says, I came to Medina. While I'm walking in Medina into the marketplace, I came to a place called Ahjar al-Zayt. فَرَأَيْتُ قَوْمًا مُجْتَمِعِينَ I see people have gathered around one man. And he's having a go at Ali radiallahu anhu. He's just like venting himself. He's gonna run one way. Suddenly, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the giant, the great Sahabi, who enjoyed the privilege of paradise in this earth, he came forward. Immediately people moved by his awe. This man was given glad tidings of Jannah, and they ushered him in. He said, what's the matter here? People have congregated. He said, this gentleman, I don't know what's his issue, I don't know what's his problem. He's just having a go at the Sahabi, and he's talking one way. So he addressed him. And Muslim, you are talking to a man who is a jannati on earth. Watch your words. You can prove yourself to an ordinary man. But remember, when you touch the wrong door, and you touch the wrong man, and you touch Allah's friend, then my friend, I pity your generations. And we've seen it with our eyes. You're not always the boss. So watch yourself. Each one, myself, first. How we talk, who we talk, to whom we talk. Sometimes we have an attitude and we just blurt. We just vent ourselves. Some people, what they say, they got verbal diarrhea. So anyway, he says, what's your story? Alama tashtimu Ali ibn Abi Talib. What happened to you? So suddenly you start cursing a man like Ali radiallahu anhu. What are you getting in your life? What did you learn? Alam yakun awwala man aslam. Was he not the first boy to accept Islam? Alam yakun awwala man sallam ma rasulillah. Was he not the first one to read salah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Alam yakun azhada nas. Was he not the most abstinent of youth? Alam yakun sahiba rayati rasulillah. Was he not the man who carried the flag of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then what's the reference to in this regard? The incident is long. Briefly, I'll say it to you. It was the month of Muharram when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left in the latter part of Muharram. He went to conquer Khaybar, and with him was his honorable consort Umm Salma radiallahu anha, and he deputized in Medina Numaila ibn Abdullah al-Layth radiallahu anhu The narration of Bukhari and Muslim wa akhraj al-shaykhan an Anas radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla subha bi ghalas. He performed fajr early that morning and then he left. And with him was Amir ibn Akwa radiyallahu anhu, and he said, خُذْ لَنَا مِنْ هُنَيَّاكِكَ. Amir, cheer us on. So he sang the famous couplets, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا فَأَنْزِلًا سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامَ إِلَّا قَيْنَا. If it wasn't for the guidance of Allah, we would have been deviated. Let mercy and tranquility descend upon us. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَرْحَمُكَ رَبُّكَ. May your Lord have mercy on you. فَقُتِلَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ. And he passed away on the evening of Khaybar. Khaybar was not a full-scale war, but there was isolated skirmishes that had taken place. Long story short, the first day the banner was given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A fierce battle was fought, but nothing really took place. They did not infiltrate and penetrate. When the sun set, the Prophet ﷺ passed the flag on to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar engaged in the ferocious battle, but again, not to much avail. There was now confusion, there was a need of change of strategy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me the flag back. لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ لَيْسَ بِفَرَّارٍ. Give me the flag. Tomorrow I will hand this flag over to a man who dearly loves Allah and his Nabi, and Allah and his Nabi are very fond of him. Instantly Allah will give victory at his hands and he will never flee the battle. Umar radiallahu anhu said, مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ قَدْتُ إِلَّا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ رَجَاءً أَنْ أَكُونَ مَنْ يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. In my whole life I never aspired for leadership, but that night I desired it. Not for the leadership, but that I could qualify for the accolade that Allah and his Nabi loves him. He said, that night every Sahabi cried, I wish this flag comes to me. I wish this flag comes to me. Nobody could wait for the sun to rise. The anxiety was overwhelming. Finally, it's the flush of dawn, it's the break of morning. All gathered in anxiety and excitement. اكتملت صفوفهم واستوت. They gathered in full number, raji'in in anticipation. They spun drop silence. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands there. And everybody is tipping, who's getting this flag? وَشَقَّ السُّكُونَ صَوْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And his blessed voice comes piercing through the silence. And he said, where is Ali radiallahu anhu? Where is Ali radiallahu anhu? And the beauty of Sahaba, Allah put a thought in my mind. As soon as the Prophet of Allah said Ali, they all said, Ali, congratulations. We aspired, but it came to you, we're happy for you. If it would have been us, yeah, son-in-law. Daughter. That's a family issue. My Sahaba were not like this. By Allah, they were not like this. Their hearts were clean. That is why my Nabi held Anas. He said, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تُمْسِي وَتُصْبِحْ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَفْعَلْ. Anas, do me a favor. Please monitor your heart morning and evening and make sure it doesn't harbor malice for any Muslim in the morning and the evening. Anas, if you have successfully achieved this, you have revived one of my noble practices, and if you've done so, we walk together in paradise. Immediately, they anticipated, but when they realized it was Ali's, they said, it's all yours. The incident continues. The reference and the inference was to this. He tells the person, do you know Ali carried the banner and the flag? Then he said, okay, you don't want to change? ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبَلِ الْقِبْلَ. Then he faced Qibla. I don't want to tell you, my friend, when a man who's got the confirmation of paradise, if his mouth is going to open up on a curse for you, I pity what's going to happen to you. I pity what's going to happen to you. He lifted his hands. Allahumma inna hadha yishtimi waliyyan min awliyaik. Allahumma inna. This hadith is in Hakim, and it's mentioned sahihun ala shart al-shaykhain. Academic discussion, it enjoys the recognition of authenticity of Bukhari and Muslim for the benefits of scholars. Otherwise, to general masses, it would be irrelevant. اللهم إن هذا وليا من أوليائك اللهم إن هذا يشتم وليا من أوليائك فلا تفرق هذا الجمع حتى تريهم قدرتك.
Allah, this man, arrogant and blatant, loud and proud, haughty and arrogant, he chooses to speak ill of your noble friend and in particular Ali. Allah, I insist, let not this gathering disperse till you don't teach him a lesson and let it be a reminder till Qiyamah. Qais ibn Abi Hazim said, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas barely ended his prayer, فَسَاخَتْ دَبَّتُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, I literally seen the earth split and the legs of his conveyance sink into the earth. فَانْفَلَقَ, he was then flipped off. فَانْفَلَقَ دِمَاغُهُ, and his brain came protruding out of his head. He didn't just die, it was a terrible death. We literally seen with the naked eye, instantly the earth split, his legs of the camel of the conveyance sunk into the earth, he was flipped off, and then his brains came protruding, wamat, and he died. These are the consequences of people who choose to speak ill of Sahaba. Another incident, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu is sitting in Kufa in a masjid. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu comes and sits next to him. Another person comes in, and he has a go again at Ali radiallahu anhu. So Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu said, "May Yasub Muhala, who is this man talking about?" You see, he's talking bad about Ali radiallahu anhu. Sa'id ibn Zayd said, "Ya Mughira, ala asma'u ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusabbu, ma tunkir wa ma tughayyi? Are you tolerating rude behavior against the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a frown on your forehead or cracking your voice? How do you tolerate this? وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and I testify that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مِمَّا سَمِعَتْ أُذُنَايَ, which my ears heard, وَوَعَاهُ قَلْبِي, and my heart preserved, فَإِنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَرْوَىٰ عَنْهُ كَذِبًا, I will never speak a lie against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَسْأَلُنِي عَنْهُ إِذَا لَقِيتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, he will question me on the day of Qiyamah. We were sitting with him one day, and he said, Abu Bakr in the Jannah, وعمر في الجنة, وعثمان في الجنة, وعلي في الجنة, وطلحة في الجنة, وزبير في الجنة, وسعد في الجنة, وطلحة ابن زبير في الجنة. And he went on mentioning, till he got to the ninth person. The Prophet of Allah went on and said, this one is in paradise, this one, this one. And even the ninth one, but I didn't mention his name, but if you want, I'll mention his name. فرجع أهل المسجد. They all got up and said, please, please tell us who was the ninth one. He said, with great modesty, I say, I was the ninth one present, and the Prophet said to me, you are in paradise. But I chose not to because I didn't want to obviously flatter myself, but he said to me, you are also in paradise. And the Prophet of Allah was the tenth person amongst us. He said, every one of them are in paradise. And then Sa'id ibn Zayd said, لَمَشْهَدٌ شَهِدَهُ رَجُلٌ مَهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يُغَبَّرُ فِيهِ وَجْهُهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ أَحَدِكُمْ وَلَوْ عُمِّرَ عُمْرَ نُوحٍ. If a person spent one moment with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which his face became dusty, is greater in merit and reward than the worship of an individual, even if his life extends to the lifespan of Nuh alaihi salam. Even if you are favored with the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam's lifespan was not 950. Many people confuse this. 950 was his period of Dawah. Read all the tafsirs, you will know what I'm saying. At the age of 40 he became a prophet. Thereafter he preached for 950, that brings it to 990. And thereafter he lived an additional 60 years. Over 1,000 was his lifespan. Even if he was given the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam, he cannot equate, it cannot be equal in value, in merit, in reward to a moment spent with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I just want to wrap up and bring it to a conclusion on certain points. What's the way forward? What's the way forward? There is a chapter in Hayat al-Sahaba, and that's the final chapter with which the kitab concludes, and that is مَاذَا قَالَتِ الْأَعْدَاءُ, ماذا قالت الأعداء في غلبة الصحابة عليهم. You know they say you're from the horse's mouth. This is a dedicated chapter on what the enemies of Islam said regarding the victory and the prosperity and the prominence of Sahaba. Why they prospered? What was their secret? What was their strategy? So I'll just share with you 2-3 narrations. Abu Ishaq's narration. Hiraqal, who was the Roman emperor, repeatedly his army had to face defeat.
So one day he engaged his people. He said, these people that you fight, أَلَيْسُوا بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ, are they human beings or are they some other creatures? He said, no, they are human beings. Okay? أَنْتُمْ أَكْثَرْ أَمْ هُمْ أَكْثَرْ, do you number more or do they number more? He said, بَلْ نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْهُمْ أَضْعَافًا فِي كُلِّ مَوْتٍ, we number more than them on every instance. So Heracles was more amazed, more perplexed, more puzzled. He said, فَمَا بَعْلُكُمْ تَنْهَزِمُونَ, then why do you lose? فَقَالَ شَيْخٌ مِّنْ عُظَمَائِهِمْ, one of the prominent people from there said, let me be honest to you, مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُونَ النَّهَارِ, مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُونَ النَّهَارِ وَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ, وَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّا نَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ وَنَزْنِي وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ وَنُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالَ أَنْتَ صَدَقْتَنِي. He said, O Emperor, Your Excellency, Your Majesty, let me spell it out in reality. The secret of these people is, by night they are in prayer with their Creator. By night they are in prayer with their Creator. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ, their sides are separated from their beds. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ, supplicating their Creator, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, in hope and fear. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ, no soul knows, مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ, that which has been concealed for them in the coolness of their eyes. Verses are so many. They perform salah by night. They fast by day. They honor their words. They respect their words, Muslim or non-Muslim. When they give the word, they honor it. On the reverse, we indulge in adultery. We commit wrong. We consume alcohol. And we bring corruption on the earth. We number more than them. We are armed to our teeth. We have artillery. We have weapons. But we never can overpower them. When Heracles heard this, he said, you have spoken the truth. This is where the secret is. O Muslim, identify your strength. O Muslim, recognize your ability. O Muslim, capitalize on your resources. The next narration, Ibn Jarir. Heracles meets a prisoner who was captured by the Muslims and managed to escape. He said, tell me about these people. He said, I will tell you as if you can view them. فُرْصَانٌ بِالنَّهَارِ رُهْبَانٌ بِاللَّيْلِ, horsemen by day, monks by night. لَا يَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ ذِمَّتِهِمْ إِلَّا بِثَمَنٍ, they will govern and rule, but they will never abuse or exploit the non-Muslims living in their country. That's what he mentions. What did he say? They will be horsemen by day, monks by night, in worship. لَا يَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ ذِمَّتِهِمْ إِلَّا بِثَمَنٍ, they will never abuse a non-Muslim living under the sovereignty of Islam. They will show respect, dignity and honor to him and treat him with fairness and justice. Next narration, Ibn Jarir as well. The Battle of Yarmouk, Tubuqlar, who was the general of the army, they just couldn't penetrate the rank of the Muslim. He called one person. He said, camouflage yourself. Penetrate their ranks. Stay undetected and report to me and tell me what are they doing behind the scenes. What are they doing behind the scenes? Once I was in California in Ramadan. So they have this, open day. That's what they call it, open day. Where they invite fellow non-Muslims to come and watch, observe the masjid, just to bridge the gap and to foster better relations and to have greater levels of transparency. So I was asked to give a talk. I was the visiting scholar there and I was conducting discourses there. And mashallah, it was good, it was wholesome, it was wonderful. But just look at the negativity of media, the stereotyping. So obviously in the last 10 days of Ramadan, we have, you know, areas that are designated, and we have cubicles for people that are sitting in i'tikaf. And I was given a brief presentation on Islam, the beauty, the character, etc. That's a tawaf, that's a prayer, that's a holy Quran, this is what we do. So there was one sister there,
and what do you have there behind those curtains?
I said, there's nothing, sister. Lift it and raise it. We have people sleeping there, that's about it. But I guess the perception, the mindset, the negativity, what's happening? We have absolutely nothing. We are as a clean slate as you want. Come in and have a look. We have no agenda, no sinister agenda, no malicious intentions. Our being by its very nature suggests peace to the entire world. Islam is peace with your creator, peace with yourself, peace with fellow humans, nay, peace with fellow creatures. We have to respect the other creatures that inhabit the earth. Peace in every form. But today people don't want peace, they want the peace of the land. There's different ways you can spell peace. You know, people don't believe in prophets as in P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. Everybody believes in prophets as in P-R-O-F-I-T-S. Go in the ranks of the Muslims and see what they do. He goes, he comes back. He says, I've studied their lives. Comes back with the same story. Fursanun bin Nahar, Ruhbanun bin Nahir. One thing is, by night they are monks, by day they are horsemen. But another amazing thing about them, nobody amongst them is above the law. لَوْ سَرَقَ إِبْنُ مَلِكِهِمْ قَتَعُوا يَدَهُ. If the child of their leader or their prophet has to steal, they will even chop the hands of their own prophet's child. This is their beauty. There's no bribery, there's no corruption, there's no distortion, there's no backhand. Everything is transparent. He said, لَإِن صَدَقْتَنِي لَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِّن لِقَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا. If you are honest in what you say, I prefer being beneath the earth than dare challenge these people on the face of this earth. The next narration, and I draw to a close. Yazdajard, he was the emperor of Persia. He was facing setback. So he wrote to one of his allies, the king of that time, his ally, and he said, please, I need reinforcement. So the king said, I understand loyalty, courtesy calls that we must be faithful to one another, but I fail to comprehend the logistics. You are outnumbered the Muslims, but you're facing defeat at their hands. It can only possibly happen بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِمْ مُشَرٍّ مِّنْ عِنْدِكُمْ. Either you having a pitfall, a downfall, and they really having an upper hand, some certain good which you're not living up to. Can I ask you a few questions before I dispatch reinforcement? He said, go for it. Number one, are you yufuna bil ahdi? Look at the questions. Understand where our strength lies. Do this nation of Muslims honor their agreements in their transactions? Do they honor what they do? He said, yes, they are very, very honorable. They are people of the world. They will never go against the world. Head on the block, the man gave you his word, he was on it. وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And narrate to them in the Quran the tale of Ismail, who was a man who honored his word. In the tafsir it is written, he promised a man to meet at a place. That person didn't come there. Ismail a.s. went into that location at that time for one entire year. If somebody tells us 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 11:01, we leave it. That's it. Before Nabuwah, before the prophethood of the Prophet s.a.w., he had an agreement with someone to meet at a place. For 3 days, the Prophet s.a.w. went there daily. And the person only came after the third day, and Nabi s.a.w. said, I've been coming here, honoring my word, and you haven't been here. You've caused me inconvenience. I don't have to tell you, if somebody delays us, we will swear him in all the languages we know. Starting off from our local language, going into our family language, and perhaps ending off in English. Yes, that's it. Every language, whatever vulgarity we know, we will give him the full wrath of our anger. Are you fooling the language? Do they honor the words? Yes, they honor the words. Number two, كيف طاعتهم أمراءهم. Is this a nation that honors the sentiments of their leaders, or they constantly rebel? He said, they're very compliant. They respect seniors. Okay. أَيُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حُلِّلَ لَهُمْ أَيُحَلِّلُونَ مَا حُرِّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Do they tamper with the laws of Allah? Do they manipulate things and look for loopholes and leeways to legitimize the unlawful? No, not at all. They said, okay, it's a done deal. Listen, make peace with them. It's easier to move a mountain than to topple a nation like this. It's easier to move a mountain than to topple a nation like this. We ask the Almighty Allah that He give us a glimpse of the noble life of Sahaba. My opening comments of Bishr ibn Harith, he said, my hope for salvation is that I love the Sahaba. Study their biographies. Name your children after these great names, so that when my son grows up, say, my boy, I named you Talha. I named you behind this great man. Read his biography. Understand who he were, who he was. And by virtue of that, hopefully his wonderful qualities will rub off. Allah's concluding word as well. Ma'ani ibn Adi radiallahu anhu was an amazing companion like every companion was. Generally the desire in the Sahaba were to die before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they don't have to contend with the bitter challenge of living after the death of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all can identify with their sentiments in this regard. But his aspiration was rather peculiar, was strange and motivated by virtue and nobility. He said, oh Allah, as challenging as it will be, and it will never be easy, no man plans the death of his beloved, and can you imagine Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But oh Allah, give me the strength that I live on after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لِأُصَدِّقَهُ مَيِّتًا كَمَا صَدَّقْتُهُ حَيًّا لِأُصَدِّقَهُ مَيِّتًا كَمَا صَدَّقْتُهُ حَيًّا, so that I can have the honor of believing in him while he was alive and equally believing in him after he passed away. And I can only have that honor if I live on after him and I can practice. Our Nabi has moved on, but he has left a rich legacy. The noble companions have moved on, but they have left behind great biographies. Study their lives, imbibe it, and go out in the world and make Islam proud. Once again, restore the glory. Understand there is a microscopic eye on you. Understand there is an evil vision on you. Understand the climate is hostile. It's just not you doing something. It's viewed as the broader perception of Islam is viewed. So be responsible in your behavior. Be dignified in your dealings and make the Ummah proud. And these words I conclude. And I ask the Almighty to accept my humble visit here to Sri Lanka for the second time. And I extend an acknowledgement to the brothers who have invited me. And there is a brother particular who doesn't want to be mentioned, but he has really gone the extra mile in really hosting me and being extremely kind. May Allah bless him individually and the entire group collectively. And the warm reception that I have enjoyed here, Allah bless you, unite you, grant you a great Ramadan. And Allah willing, we meet again, inshallah, in this world for the cause of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.